roadside cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Sing it. Song, song.
And welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. 35 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday afternoon. Still to come on the program today, State Representative Chip Brown will be in studio with us in the next hour. Make sure that you stay tuned for that. But next up on the program, as I mentioned, the Media Research Center, a good friend of mine, a guy that gave me my first job in Washington, D.C., Dan Gaynor joins us on the line. Dan, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm sitting here watching it rain a lot. Because I was saying, this is weird. I'm talking to you on the Gulf Coast, and I'm the one getting the tropical storm, and you're not.
Yeah, it is the irony of the situation, but it sounds like it's just a tropical storm. That's just a bad rain shower.
Yeah, no, I don't think even the Carolinas got hit too bad. So it's just one of those things. Just summer rain. It means I don't have to water my lawn. That's really how I look at it. But it's somehow appropriate. I mean, here we are 3 months out from the presidential election, and you know. Talk about storm clouds. This week and last week, it came out, in the New York Times this week, a bunch of far-left Democrats got together with a bunch of never-Trump Republicans. So basically far-left Democrats and slightly less far-left Democrats got together to war game what was likely to happen
yes.
at the presidential election. Okay, because everybody thinks it's going to be close, mail-in voting and all the rioting and everything's going to be chaotic. So they war gamed it. And John Podesta, if you remember him, you know, former Clintonite from the 2016 election, in one of the scenarios, he played Joe Biden. And in that scenario, they talked a couple of the governors of the states to send in phony electors into Washington, in other words, to overrule the voting. And they convinced the three western states, California, Oregon, and Washington, to threaten to secede if Joe Biden wasn't named. And I mean, this is the left strategy. This is not something that the right is talking about. This is why when the president talks about election, you know, fraud and stuff, this is what he's talking about. This is going to be the most lawyered and argued and fought over and contentious election we've had since 1860.
Yeah, well, usually when you hear that secession, you know, they want to tie it to race or whatever the left that is. But this circumstance, I mean, this is hard to know if Podesta was really being tongue-in-cheek or what was going on there. But the idea that this would be, you know, even on anybody's radar, I mean, I think that sounds some alarm bells.
Well, I mean, apparently it was. I mean, this was part of their debating strategy when they did this. And so, I mean, they think they can strong-arm Trump out of the White House in a close election. They think that they can bully Republicans into doing what their will because of the media and because of, you know, big tech and all this other stuff. And so, I mean, I when I talk about this, if wherever I talk in this country, people need to understand if you're going to have a close congressional or Senate race, you better line up your lawyers now. Because every ballot, every single ballot is going to be challenged. If it's a mail-in ballot and it's got a slight smudge on it, somebody's going to say, "Oh, that doesn't count." If they don't like it. So, I mean, go back to when Al Franken became senator in Minnesota. That was a close race, and basically the Democrats out-lawyered the Republicans. I mean, he was losing, but he had better lawyers. So I mean, this is a red flag for anybody on the right going into this election.
Yeah, well, but the part that bothers me is the possibility that we could lose California, Oregon, and Washington State. I don't know what that country would be called or how they would go about that.
Left Coastia.
Yeah, I wonder what that utopia is going to be like if it got out on its own two feet, but. This seems like something that ought to, you know, could you imagine if this were Republican states that did this and the way we would be acting?
If Republicans got together and war game this, and in their war game, a prominent former, you know, Bush, you know, campaign guy had gotten together and played and played Trump and threatened to secede, you know, it wouldn't have been buried at the bottom of a New York Times article. It would have been the front page. Oh, you know, GOP plans to secede if they don't get what they want. You know, this is the left. The left, there are no rules for the left, and there are all rules for the right. And, you know, as I'm, my expression is, everything left is right, everything right is wrong. And that's the media's way of looking at it. Oh, well, you know, if they were to riot and bully people, it's only because they're righteous. They're right. They're going to get Trump out of the White House, man. He's a threat. You know, do you guys realize you're talking about secession and a coup?
Well,
it's legit when they do it, but it's not legit when anybody else does.
It's the ends justify the means. That's the rule that guides everything. And it's so, you know, it's bizarre to me that is allowed. It doesn't seem intellectually honest, I guess.
Well, it's not. So here's a question for you. I'm trying to ask this of people around the country. Are you seeing many political signs anywhere?
Well, yeah, we just had a Senate primary here. So
for presidential.
A presidential, no. That's an interesting point. And a lot of ads. Trump running, you know, on the local cable stations here on Fox News, and you'll see Biden on the left-leaning networks. But you get beyond that, maybe one or two here and there on the broadcast channels. But signs are just not very many. I've seen a few Trump signs, but I think a lot of those Trump signs and those Trump flags are either homemade or something somebody bought.
Well, I mean, I live in the middle of Maryland in a sort of lefty area, and there are no signs for either president. And I don't know, maybe people are just afraid, given everything that's going on, that they're afraid to put them out on either side. But, I mean, in my community, we don't even have... I have a wildly diverse community. They don't even have any Black Lives Matter signs sitting out. A friend of mine lives in Bethesda, which is even more liberal. He said in all of the area he lives in, one Biden sign. He said there's a bunch of Black Lives Matter signs, but one Biden sign. That's it.
Well, is it a product that we just don't do the yard signs like we used to? That things are digital now?
In 2016, now? I mean, they were everywhere in 2016. I'm happy personally if my neighborhood doesn't become like a free fire zone about elections, just because, you know, I live in a cul-de-sac and it's kind of hard to ignore your neighbors. but I mean, I'm just sort of curious. I think what's happened is I think the Trump people are wary about being attacked. I think the Biden people, there just aren't that many of them. I think there's some people who are going to vote for Biden, but I don't think Biden has that many supporters. I think it's just, he's a default candidate for so many people.
You're right. He's not Trump. It's Trump versus not Trump more than it is Trump versus Biden.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I've called him the Weekend at Bernie's candidate. I mean, they're trying to drag him across the finish line and not let him talk to anybody.
Well, that can't last. We've never had a presidential election like this, and maybe you could make that case if Biden were some kind of like war veteran or hero and committed some kind of heroic acts, but he's just a long time product of Washington D.C. via Delaware, and people. I mean, he's always been gaffe prone, but he. I mean, that doesn't strike me as people. The most people are going to be willing to put up with that. Now, recognize this, though. I mean, I'm in this bubble, and I watch this stuff blow by blow, but I try to look at it from a different perspective. I just, if you get those two, Trump and Biden, on a debate stage together, and Biden flanders around,
what? The question, are you? Across several outlets now, you've seen prominent liberals calling for Biden not to debate Trump.
But
and New York Times is an op-ed, and CNN is an op-ed.
Does that raise more red flags than not?
Well, I mean, I would argue so, but I think here's what I would say. I think Biden is not coherent enough to go on stage for 2 hours and not make a huge brain freeze gaffe. And now, if you've seen, and you can discount this or not, Dan Bongino has come out and claimed he's heard from insiders, which, you know, might be Secret Service or whatever, that Biden's deteriorating, his mental faculties have continued to deteriorate, and they certainly aren't allowing him out to talk to hardly anybody. And so that makes, I mean, it, you know, makes the whole nation wildly suspicious. So basically, when you're voting for Biden, you know, I think most people now think they're voting for his vice president, which is interesting that he delayed who that was a week.
Well, speaking of the vice presidential stuff, it seemed early on that Stacey Abrams was the darling of the media. She was being courted as a potential VP. The Kamala Harris name doesn't go away right now, though, Dan. And I don't know what y'all are seeing, but it seems like Susan Rice is kind of the candidate du jour.
Well, it's like every one of these who bubbles up gets chopped down. There's a lot of, like, you know, Oppo being floated out by Democrats and into the media, to their media friends. Karen Bass came out, and then all sorts of bad stuff about Karen Bass came out. That she was pretty tolerant of the commies and pretty supportive of Scientology, neither one of which is likely to gain her a lot of votes. But the problem with Kamala Harris is, you know, is a problem on the left. I mean, not only did she lock up, you know, poor black people as, you know, like the head cop in California, but she's also a person of color. She's not African American. I've seen that complaint on MSNBC, and then that she's married to, you know, a Jewish guy. That they're bothered by that too. I mean, there was a whole segment of the Joy Reid show a few months back complaining about this. I'm not exactly a Kamala Harris fan. When I end up on radio defending Kamala Harris to marry whoever the hell she wants, you know, that's a weird place to be, but that's how bad the left is, that they're going to criticize you because of your race, even if you're a person of color.
Well, she's the front runner. Is that fair? I mean, I can't see.
I don't think she's the front runner. I think she's the fault. If they can't find somebody else, they keep circling back to her. But if you remember during the campaign, you know, when she was running against Biden, her one big moment was when she called Biden a racist. But in general, her support in the black community is, I mean, just ridiculously low. She doesn't add anything to Biden's campaign as far as the black community. She just simply, you know, is a person of color who's a senator that he can name. I don't think it helps him much. And in fact, here's the interesting, Hispanics are running ads now blasting Biden, who said he's going to name African-American woman as his running mate. And they're like, well, there are more Hispanics in America than there are blacks in America. Well, how come you're doing that?
Well, it's the politics of the time. But I would also argue the problem with Kamala Harris is, well, Biden ought to win California anyway. What does that add?
I mean, there is that. You know, it seems like some of the standard rules of politics have gone out the window. You know, it used to be that you wouldn't name a VP from a state that you were already going to win. You know, why would you do that? I mean, you know, it doesn't matter how many million Californians turn out to vote for you. And then, of course, I'm not sure they like her that much in California anyhow.
Well, and here's the question, I guess. We'll kind of wind it down on this. Without the conventions, those are always like kind of the springboard into the real, like the meat and potatoes of the campaign election cycle. No conventions. What's that going to be like?
I mean, I think there's, for all that the inside the Beltway people care about this election, I think most Americans don't. I think most Americans want it to go away. People are tired of the media pounding Trump. They're tired of the constant controversies around Trump. They have no interest in Biden because he's as charismatic as a wet dish towel. I mean, I think if you asked Americans, they go, why are we doing this? They're focused on trying to restart their lives. They're trying to focus on the virus and whatever that means to their lives and their businesses. And I mean, the election, which is the most pivotal we've had in 160 years, is an afterthought, I think, to most people. And so in the final analysis, this is the scary. If you are on the left or in the media, because they're on the left, that this is a base election, and you know the GOP is going to turn out because they know what happens if they lose. They know, they've already seen governors in COVID states shutting down churches but allowing rioters and protesters to protest. They've already seen governors going after gun stores but saying that lefties can do whatever they want. They know what happens if the left takes over. The left has talked about packing the Supreme Court, changing electoral college, mandatory national health care, this whole line of green things, the Green New Deal. It's going to be a war on every front. And so the right's going to turn out. It has to. But, whether the left is motivated by Joe Biden and, fill-in-the-blank VP candidate, I'm just not sure they are.
Hey, Dan, we got to leave it there real quick before we let you go. Tell folks where they can find you on social media, where they can find all your great work, both at Fox News and at the MRC.
Oh, they can just go to newsbusters.org to find out about the MRC. They can find me on Twitter at Dan Gaynor, DanGainor. And I hope I get a bunch of new followers from your new show. And again, congrats. And they can find me because I write for FoxNews.com. Find me in the opinion section every week.
Hey, Dan, as always, thanks for making time for us.
Thanks, man.
All right, we got to take a break. We will be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Send it on down the line. This is for the one who drives the big rig.